Okay, today is Wednesday, April the 9th, fourth day of the month of Nisan. This is the Women's Chumash here. We're in Dvarim Perakavav. So the Torah describes what is the Vidui Maaser, and now we're going to see the conclusion of this declaration. A most interesting statement. Pasuk Tetvav. Hashkifa mimon kachicha min hashamayim. Hakadosh Baruch Hu, please gaze. Hashkifa is to gaze, to stare. It's not just to look. It's a very intense look. Mimon kachicha, from your heavenly, your holy abode. Min hashamayim, from heaven. Uvareich et amcha. Et Yisrael, bless your nation, bless Israel, because when you have the et in between, the verb applies to both. Uvarech et amcha, to varech et Yisrael. Because if the Yisrael is linked to amcha, just the description, it should have said, uvarech et amcha Yisrael. Doesn't have to have et amcha and et Yisrael. Ve'et ha'adama asher nasata lanu, and bless the land which you have given to us. Ka'asher nishbata la'avoteinu, as you have promised our forefathers. Eretz zavat chalav udavash. So this is the conclusion. Let's just take a look at Rashi and then expand upon this particular pasuk and some final comments about the mitzvah of Vidui Maaserot in general. Rashi says, Hashkifa me'on kachicha, asinu mashi gazarta aleinu. We have done that which you have decreed upon us. Asei ata mashi alecha la'asot. Now you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do what you're supposed to do, what you had promised. She'amarta, you said, in Parshat B'chukotai, Im B'chukotai Teleichu, if you will follow my commandments, V'natati Gishmechem B'itam, I promise that the rain will fall at its appropriate time. And, that's what Rashi says. Very nice. Okay. And then, asher nishbata lanu kasher nishbata lavoteinu, latet lanu, v'kiyamta eretz zavat chalav udvash. Just as you want, you fulfilled eretz zavat chalav udvash, because if he had not fulfilled this, we wouldn't be giving ma'asrot. This is vidui ma'asrot. So, we're not asking God to fulfill his promise to give us eretz Yisrael. For after all, he gave us Eretz Yisrael. That's why we have contributed and given them Trumot and Maasrot. There is no obligation of Trumot and Maasrot in Chutz La'aretz. So what are we asking God? We're asking to fulfill another request, that there will be Gishmechem B'itam, just as he fulfilled another request that he had made. Another statement. What else did HaKadosh Baruch Hu fulfill? He promised to Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov that he would give Eretz Yisrael. And you fulfilled that promise. Well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please fulfill Bacha promise. Another promise. What promise did you make? In B'chukotai Teleichu, so then you'll have proper rainfall, there will be protection from the neighbors, and so on and so forth. Yeah.
But it is fulfilled already, because otherwise they wouldn't have what to bring.
Of course. Of course. This is correct. This entire statement of Rashi is incredibly difficult to understand. Incredibly difficult. For the following reasons. Number one, where else do we ever find that we have a right to demand reward because we did a mitzvah?
I thought that intimidated by a
mitzvah. What? I know. But where we have the right to, we did what we're supposed to do, and as a result, we're expecting this. Furthermore, If, as Nechama wants to suggest, that Chazal have a little more gall and audacity and are willing to state the case, why is this demand only by Vidui Ma'asrot? You mean to tell me, let's assume somebody else does something, right? Erev Pesach, this coming week, I want you to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, I did everything you're supposed to. I cleaned, I baked matzahs, I did everything that I was supposed to do. Now you promise me such and such and such, I'm going to have economic bliss, there's going to be protection for my... Because it's not just that there's going to be adequate rainfall. There are five sukkim which describe what HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises when this is supposed to happen. And in effect, so that's a second difficulty. Why is it limited to here? Thirdly, the Lashon of Hashkafa is, of course, everybody else comments that Kol Hashkifa Shevamikra is always negative. We'll get to that in 1 second. 100%. Vayashkifu El Pnei Sodom. I'll show you the Pasuk in the Chumash. We don't need Shirashir. It's black and white. So we'll get to it in a second. So the expression Vayashkifu is an unusual statement that requires some type of explanation. And even the whole idea of comparing this to the episode in Parshat Bechukotai, that in itself needs explanation as well. For after all, many question, how does the Torah jive with a very famous statement that that Rabbi Yaakov makes, and agreed upon by almost everybody, that there is no reward for the fulfillment of mitzvot in this particular world. There is no reward whatsoever. Schav Onesh is Olam Haba. Okay. So now the question is, if one believes that Schar Onesh is Olam Haba, and Rambam adopts that position, many adopt that position, how do we understand the Pasuk in the Shema, which says that if you follow the mitzvot, v'nasati yesed v'sadah, and how do you understand the Pasuk in Parshas Bechukotai? If you follow, what's going to happen? There will be adequate rainfall, and so on and so forth. What do you mean? That seems to be perfect reward. That's perfect reward. So, in light of that, so here, I want to make a presentation, which will answer many of these, and then we'll touch and address, touch some of the specifics. But the Netziv develops a most interesting perspective about this entire pasuk, And he says as follows, if you will please open up to Parshat Ekev, it's Dvarim Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Tet Vav. Okay, one other question I should ask. Is this particular, when would it be more appropriate to ask God to give rain after I fulfill the mitzvah? There are two mitzvot that we've discussed in this parsha. In this, so far, since we started Kitavot, what are the two mitzvot? Bikurim, the mitzvah Bikur. When do we give Bikurim? When? Shavuot. What happens? I gave you the Mishnah in Bikurim. Ra'a te'ena shebichra. You see one little what? Fig that what? Has begun to ripen yet. Would you say that this is the end of the harvest season? No. When is the Chag HaAsif? Sukkot. So if I'm going to be asking God for rainfall, the way Rashi believes, Uvarek et ha'adama, when should I be asking for rainfall? After the season's over? After I've done and finished everything? That's when I'm asking for rainfall. Right before Shavuot, when you still have the majority of what? of the produce, because Bikurim is only the first ones that ripened. The majority hasn't been ripened yet. You have not harvested anything yet. Maybe that would be the appropriate time to engage in making such a request. Not after the Onat HaMaasot. Everything's all done. And everything's been harvested for 3 years. Now I'm asking for rain. Well, what's going on here? So the Netziv develops the following idea. If you look at Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Tesvav for 1 second. In Dvarim. Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Tetvav. One of the most powerful psukim in the Chumash. Because it speaks to us. No, it's not Yud Aleph Tetvav. The Ram Gulubavacha. That's in the text of English. Oh, excuse me. It's Perek Chet. Hello. Perek Chet. Pasuk Yud Aleph in Parshas Ekev. Perek Chet. My mistake. Chet Yud Aleph in Dvarim. What does the pasuk say? Hishamalacha Pentishkach et Hashem Elokecha Levilti Shmor Mitzvotav U'Mishpatav V'Chukotav Asher Anochi Mitzavcha Hayom Pen Tochal V'Savata Uvanim Tovim Tivne V'Yashavta U'V'Chorcha V'Tzoncha Yir V'Yun V'Chesef V'Zahav Yir Belach V'Chol Asher Lecha Yir Be V'Ram Levavecha V'shachachto et Hashem alofecha hamotziyacha me'eretz Yisrael mi'beit avadim. What is, says the Sifri, commenting on this pasuk, Ein Adam moreid v'hakadosh baruch hu, ela mitoch svi'ah. Ein hakadosh baruch, Ein Adam moreid v'hakadosh baruch hu. No one rebels against God unless they are what? Satiated. Exactly. They're satiated. And the Sifri quotes the pasuk. Kidich tziv vayishman yishurun vayiv'at. The pasuk in Parshas Hazinu. So, when a person comes to, going back to our pasuk, in Parshas Kisavo, look now at the beginning of the unit, Pasuk Yud Bet. Ki techale la'aser et kol ma'asar tfuatcha v'ashana ha'shishit ha'shnat ha'maser v'natata la'levi la'ger la'yatom v'la'almana v'achlu b'sharecha v'saveyu. Who is the subject of the last three words? V'achlu b'sharecha v'saveyu. The ger, the yatom, and the almana. How much are they eating? The Savei, they're satisfied. So if the recipients are satisfied, who certainly has been blessed with an abundance of wealth? The giver, the contributor, there's no doubt about it. And what happens, as the Pasuk itself says, quite often, if Dafka, after an incredibly successful year, says the Torah, V'ram livavecha, and there are people who unfortunately, they abandon HaKadosh Baruch Hu at this particular time. Says the Netziv, this particular unit of Vidui Ma'asrot, this entire unit of Vidui Ma'asrot, is to acknowledge to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that unfortunately there are people within our midst who fall into this particular category. Remember we started this unit by asking the question, why is it called Vidui? Why is this called Vidui? And especially since it seems to be that what? You've done everything. Why would you call a situation where you do everything you're supposed to do, why are you calling that confession? The answer is, because although segments of Klal Yisrael have done everything that we are supposed to do, everything, there are many who have taken the blessings that HaKadosh Baruch Hu have granted Am Yisrael as a whole, and what have they done with it? Shoved it right in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's face. Because it's difficult for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to grant, don't forget, the brachot of matar and everything, that has to be on a national level. It's not going to be that it's going to rain in your this person's property, it's not going to rain in that piece of it. So there are people who are perhaps not deserving of this particular blessing, who are the recipients of this bracha. And their reaction to all of this is what? Is unappreciative. They rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, the vidui, in effect, is a confession on the part of those who are the recipients of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's blessing, who recognize, thank God, that I am not abandoned, but I know how dangerously close your decision, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, could have been to have the tide swing the other way. That instead of having those who rebel against you blessed, what could he have done? Those who are loyal can what? Can suffer in poverty, as we've seen so frequently. So frequently. For this reason, this vidui is now asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Uvarech et Amcha Kama et Yisrael. There are amcha, when the Torah uses such a phrase, it tells us it doesn't include everybody. There are many such parallels. It doesn't include everybody. Here too, we're asking the Chadosh Baruch Hu, Uvarech et amcha. I want you to bless even those who are not necessarily deserving of bracha. Why? Because et Yisrael. I want you to understand that there is an obligation on your part to look at the totality of Knesset Yisrael and continue to grant us bracha going forward, despite the fact that there is a segment of the population that does not deserve to be blessed. And therefore the phrase Hashkafa is so appropriate. Here is the pasuk to which Nechama was making reference to. Please open up to Parshas Bereishis. It is Perek Yutet. And the Gemara makes the comment and notes that this is the only exception to the rule. Our pasuk. Only exception to the rule. Perek Yutet of Sefer Bereishis is in Parshas Vayera, and I'll tell you the exact pasuk. What? What pasuk? What perek is it? Perek Yutet, pasuk Chavches. Vayashkeif al pnei Sodom ve'amora. Vayashkeif al pnei Sodom. Says the Midrash, Ein Hashkafa Ela Klala. every single time that the Torah uses the expression of Vayashkev, it is God gazing at a situation where his intention is to curse, to destroy, because he's angry. He's angry at the behavior that he notices. So why would they use this expression here, Hashkifu, as well? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a little annoyed. Why is he a little annoyed? Because there are people who are not appreciative of what I have done for them. And it's getting HaKadosh Baruch Hu a little annoyed. A little annoyed. So what switches it? What switches it? What are we now asking God with what? What are we asking God to what? To overcome this? We're asking to overcome with the mitzvah of Vidui Ma'asro. Vidui Ma'asro. Specifically, the Ma'asro. Where those who are loyal and abiding to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, what mitzvah do we now do? The mitzvah of supporting those who are in need. I have told you on other occasions, there is no mitzvah in the Torah with which God makes a deal. Okay? Somebody is ill. You turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, please, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, send that person Lefua Shleima. You know what? I'm going to light candles this Friday night. You know what? I'm going to eat kosher meat this week. What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response when you ask him to do something based on the fact you're going to do a mitzvah? What's his response? Say it harshly. I couldn't care less. Don't do a mitzvah. I don't make deals with people to do a mitzvah. There's only one exception to the rule, and that's the mitzvah tzedakah. That's why when you make a mishaberach for somebody, you can't say ba'avu shani mitpalel ba'avu ro, because I'm praying, so don't pray. Don't do me any favors. But if you have a situation with the ger, the yatom, and the almana, who are helped as a result of this difficult situation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to lower himself and consider a deal, strike a bargain with you, because the objective has been accomplished. Somebody who he's interested in, namely the Ger, Yatom, and Almana, has been helped. And therefore we now come specifically at the mitzvah of Vidui Ma'asrot, and we tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are being mitvader, not necessarily for ourselves. We're being mitvader, recognizing that there is a segment of the population that unfortunately has not taken advantage of your blessings. And they have fallen to the trap, exactly what it says in Parshas Ekev. And for this reason, I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you could once decide that all of Klal Yisrael are going to suffer, and those who are devoted and dedicated will have to suffer along with them. And here's just one parenthetical remark. All of this about the reward of rain and things like that, which will answer that other question, is not reward. That's what the Ramban says, this, not me. That's called working conditions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that when you have a job to do, you can have pleasant working conditions and unpleasant working conditions. If there are unpleasant working conditions, that means you don't have to do your job? Of course you have to do your job. Nonetheless, same thing. We have an obligation, our job, our responsibilities to engage in performing of mitzvot. So there are times when I call the show, you know, I will make life very pleasant for you. The working conditions, there will be adequate rain, there will be protection. Sometimes the working conditions are not terribly pleasant. We're poverty stricken, we're under attack. That doesn't diminish one iota our responsibility to quote unquote our employer. So we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to overlook those who have decided to rebel against you specifically as a result of their great success, their harvest and success. That was the precipitating reason why they challenged you. And we're going to say vidui on their behalf and ask you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, uvareich et amcha. I want you to bless even those who perhaps don't deserve it. because uvarechet Yisrael, because I know that your decision has to be made all or nothing. There is no such thing as rain coming down on this tzaddik and no rain coming on the Russia's field. And therefore I make this declaration specifically after the mitzvah vidui ma'asrot, because it is the mitzvah with which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to make a deal. Why am I willing to make a deal? Because there is somebody on the receiving end who desperately needs support. Therefore, even though it should have been that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry, and it should have been Vayashkifu Milashon Klala, I'm asking you to turn it around. Hashkifa Mimon Kachicha, and instead of cursing, Uvarech Et Amcha Et Yisrael. In which case, this whole concept of Vidui Ma'asrot is a responsibility where those members of Am Yisrael who remain loyal and dedicated unto him recognize the failings of the rest of our community who choose not to do so, particularly out of a sense of incredible wealth. And there is another pasuk in Parshas Ekev that turns to this as well. What do you think the pasuk where a person says, Kochi v'otzen yadi asali et achayil hazeh? What does that mean? I was the farmer. I am a genius. I know how to do this. And after one succeeds, you have the tendency of forgetting the role of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in your success. It's much easier to identify and approach him when you're in desperate need. Then you have no alternatives. But to appreciate and to recognize that he has done something for me under those circumstances, it's a lot more difficult. And therefore, this word Hashkafa, that's why it's specifically after the Vidui Ma'asrot, and that's why it's called Vidui, because it's indeed a confession. We may have done what we're supposed to. Asinu mashigazazalena. We may have done that. But, mitochein atashomei alav. There are plenty who have not done what they're supposed to do, and I know it's annoying you, Rivanya Shalaylam. Yeah.
Not that altruistic, because, you know, if everyone else gets punished, they get punished. And secondly, it does get punished for it. It's not for you. This is not an agrarian society, and if the conditions aren't right, they don't have the produce, they don't have the output, it's an equation. And so how do you say it's not a reward?
Because the argument is, if you believe fundamentally that there are no rewards for mitzvot in this world, then you are compelled to explain those psukim which seem to indicate reward, that this is not a reward. This is simply a description of the working conditions, but it's not the reward. Reward is reserved in the world to come.
That's just semantics.
No, it's not semantics. I think there's a fundamental difference in understanding.
You're a farmer. You don't have the right conditions. You don't have any produce.
Does that mean you can't observe Shabbos?
No, but I'm saying it is a reward if you get the right conditions. Definitely a reward.
I grant you that.
Like
I grant.
It's harder to irrigate if there's no rain and you have to
punch it. I grant you. I grant you that it's to some degree semantics.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, there is, and I quote, Rambam quotes this as well. Schar is only in Olam Haba. Only in Olam Haba. And that's one of my beef pets arguments with Lubavitch. Nothing to do with the Rebbe Shlita. Right? Or Rebbe Olav HaShalom. Nothing to do with the Rebbe. I don't believe that our method of education should be that the reason why we do mitzvot is to bring the Mashiach. That's not the reason to do mitzvot. The reason why we do mitzvot is because we understand our relationship with our Creator. There should be no other reason involved in doing a mitzvah. It's not contingent upon anything. Not contingent upon reward, not contingent upon threats of punishment. It's simply because philosophically I am cognizant of what I'm supposed to be doing. Yes.
At what point?
When you obviously one sophisticated to expect that, I can't expect it to cultivate that mind in a 15-year-old. It requires a mature mind.
And
yeah.
Yeah.
Everything. That's correct. Everything in Olam Haba.
He said we're giving tzedakah for the sake of...
Because I recognize it's my responsibility to do so, because I understand fully that my assets are his assets, and if he expects me to share my assets with somebody else, I am prepared to do so. Yeah.
So what is the answer for davening about when you say, give me a good pronounce, I'm starting the book of life, give me health, give me happiness, give me, what is that about then?
That's all the same question. Those are good questions. But it's not the reason why we do a mitzvah. Yeah. You can ask for it to make life a little easier. I'd like to have it a lot easier on this world. But I'm not trading in, this is not the essence of my observance. I'm not telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need this, I need panasa, I need good health, I need all this, in order for me to perform it. It makes it a lot easier. There's no doubt.
The innate hope is that if you do perform your mitzvah, you will be freshly
rewarded. Reward. Yeah. Yeah.
Also, people who are destitute and poverty-stricken also reject Kodesh Baruch Hu and look back on it.
Correct, but the Torah is less concerned about that, because usually when one is in need, that's the time when you suddenly discover God. Usually, or a lot of people. I know that there are cases that where a person has suffered, there's no doubt as well.
I have a follow-up to what you just said. But in the process of being telling you, in order to do this mitzvah, you must give a portion to these people,
right,
and they renew their belief in HaKadosh.
Good. That's interesting. Good point. Now, the Abarbanel, just one more second. Yeah, go right ahead. Yeah.
Why do we in Sila, we say Elos Marin Shadam Achavash?
Okay, it's a good question. What exactly does it mean, Ochel Peiro Sehem Ba'olam Hazeh? What does that mean? What exactly does that Mishnah mean? I don't know offhand. I didn't look at it. But it's a good question. What exactly does it mean that I'm going to eat for these mitzvot, Ochel Peiro Sehem Ba'olam Hazeh, but the Keren Tayyem? It means that there's an ancillary benefit in Olam Hazeh.
Yes.
That when you observe the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em, there's an ancillary benefit. The reward will be like everything else. But you will be able to experience some benefit in this world as well. Abarbanel makes an interesting point. Vidui Ma'asrot is because we are dealing with Mamon She'en Lo Tovim. Mazet Toveya, Litboa. What? A claim. Good. When I go over to you and I steal your chumash, that's Mamon She'esh Lo Toveya. Cheryl can sue me in court to recover that which belongs to her. When I have Trumot and Ma'asrot, who is going to making the claim? Hey, this guy, which lady is going to be suing me in court that I have hoarded my Trumot and Ma'asrot? There is nobody. Specifically by a mitzvah, She'ein Lo Tov In, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sets up the mitzvah of Vidui Ma'asrot and demands that what? Not only that I must make my declaration, I have to make sure that all of the ma'asrot that are sitting supposedly in your living room have to be delivered, because there is nobody to go ahead and to protect it. Because there's nobody who can sue on the recovery. Sure, it belongs to the levi, the ma'asarisha. Sure, the truma belongs to a kohen. But there's nobody there to claim it, because there's no specific kohen to which I'm obligated. For this reason, there is a halacha of vidui and biur ma'asrot, says Abarbanel, because it's mamon she'en lo tovin. It has got nobody to demand it, and that's point number two. Point number three of Abarbanel makes. This is a very funny mitzvah. Let's try to put yourself into a levi's seat, or an ani's seat. Okay? This is the first year of the Shemitah cycle, okay? Next year will be the first year of the Shemitah cycle. So I have my master Rishon sitting in my house. How's the levi supposed to live next year if I don't give it to him? The second year, I still have the Levi's Maser. The third year, I still have the Levi's Maser in my house. What happens to your lack of recognition that all along the way you caused enormous, immeasurable anguish unto this Ani based on the fact that you delayed giving him till the end of the third year? What's he supposed to eat the first and second and third year? The Ani is expecting it during the third year. You're waiting now six months later, you're going to give it to him? And the lady, you can be hoarding it for 3 years. Whatever happened to that sensitivity? Says Abarbanel, we have to emphasize the word in Pasuk Tetvav, in Pasuk Yudbet, Vissaveyu. Vissaveyu. Tell me what percentage you have to give for Truma. What percentage? 2%, according to rabbinic law. According to Torah law, there is no minimum requirement. You can give as little as you'd like. No minimum for Truma, for example. The way to compensate, at least to some measure, is not just to fulfill the bare minimum needs of giving the tithes, but what you should recognize. You want the Ani to experience and the Levi to experience a sense that I'm satiated. And when will that happen? Not that you suddenly hoard everything until the third year, but all along you make sure that the Kohen, the Levi, the Ani are taken care of, and you give well above and beyond the call of duty. So that each one of the people involved, the Levi, the Ger, the Yatom, and the Almana, not only will they be having that which you want, but it's the Achlu Visharecha Vissaveyu. Vissaveyu. The purpose of the mitzvah of Biur Ma'asrot is to alert us not to do what the Torah tells us to do. You know why it's called Vidui? Because I didn't do it the way I was supposed to do. What should I have been done? In its proper time, I should have given the Levi his maser. In the proper time, I should have given his truma the truma. And that's why now I've gotten rid of it. But where has your sensitivity been all along? And as a result, it has it, even though you fulfill the mitzvah in its technical aspect, that ultimately I rid myself of all of the trumot and masot I've been collecting, I have to make vidui, because I probably caused the Ani, the Ger, the Levi, and the Kohen unnecessary affliction when all it doesn't come out of my pocket at all. Because in order for me to eat my own grain, what do I have to do? I have to separate it. You can't eat your own grain year one and year two until you are mafresh. Don't think that your family was starving. So you separate it. You just put it in the closet, and it sat there. That caused undue suffering. For that, says Abarbanel, there is an element of vidui, and that's why this particular parsha is called Vidui Ma'asrot. Yes.
You start with this group of people for a lot of different things, Lady Gary, Tamal, and that. Is there any mention why, like, a Rusha would not be included?
Is there a divorce? Okay. Probably yes. Because the Ger, the Yatom and the Almana, all of those are influenced by God. And nobody becomes the Yatom and Almana unless God makes a decision to take somebody's life. A Grusha, you know, that's it's a good question. It's a good question.
Single is laid on somebody who's single. 40, 50,
but she's supposed to get her ksuba, but so is the almana, and almana gets a ksuba as well. A widow gets her ksuba. So it's a good question. You know, I would imagine that just imagining that in the time of the Torah, statistically, there weren't that many people who were getting divorced, and it was not necessarily an issue. But I would agree with you that today, that people who experience that and suffer economically should be included in our concerns of those who are less fortunate. There's no doubt about it.
Well, so wouldn't she go back to her parents' home?
Well, the same thing, the almanah can do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, the widow can go into her parents' home also. 100%. Lama gain weiter. Lama gain weiter. Okay. The next four psukim are incredibly difficult, not because I can't translate them, but what in the world is the Torah trying to communicate for four psukim, basically saying the same thing, and basically adding, I'm saying this carefully, almost nothing contributed to our understanding of what's happening. So let me read the four psukim. Hayom hazeh, Hashem elokecha mitzavcha la'asot ha'chukim ha'ela v'et ha'mishpatim. Today, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is commanding you to observe these statutes and laws. V'shamarta ve'asita otam, be careful to observe them. V'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha. Es Hashem he'emarta hayom. God somehow has said today that what? He will be lihiyot lecha leluhim, that he will be your God. V'lo lechet bidrachav, and to follow his ways. Lishmor chukav u'mitzvotav u'mishpatav, v'lishmoa bikolo. V'Hashem, and furthermore, Hashem he'emircha hayom, God is saying today, li'yot lo li'am segula, ka'asher diber lach, v'lishmor kol mitzvotav.
What's the difference with that,
Martin? Rashi says, ein lo re'ya v'mikra. There's no parallel any place in Tanakh for this type of an expression. We'll see it in a second. So, I prefaced by the reading of this, and you can see what in the world is being communicated in these three psukim, other than a broad, general, sweeping statement, which happens to be found several times in Parsha, in Sefer Dvarim, where Moshe Rabbeinu just decides to what? To observe all the mitzvos. Very nice. But look at Pasuk Chaf Zayin. That's correct. But look at Parak Chavzayin, Pasuk Al. Vayitzav Moshe v'zignis yom lemar, shamar es kol ha-mitzvah shonech etzav es chayom. Again. So in the span of four psukim, Moshe Rabbeinu has to tell us, hayom hazeh ha-shem ha-mitzvah kol ha-mitzvah ha-chukim. And then four psukim later, v'shamar es kol ha-mitzvah. What in the world is being added here? So let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi will try to answer this. Says Rashi, Hayom hazeh Hashem elokecha mitzavcha, b'chol yom yiyu be'enecha chadashim, ki'ilu bo bayom nitzkaveka alehem. Says Rashi, nothing really is being communicated other than an idea which Moshe wishes to communicate to generate and ingest an element, and ingest an element of enthusiasm to the observance of all mitzvot. Make believe today is what? Today is the day in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given. That's correct. Now Rashi makes this comment not only once, but several times. If you remember the pasuk in Parshat Vo'eschanan, during which the Shema is recorded, so Rashi says, give me the exact source. Well, please open up to Dvarim Perek Vav Pasuk Vav. Vav, Vav, and Dvarim. We say this every day. V'hayu ha-dvarim ha-eile asher anochi nitzavcha hayom al-levavecha, says Rashi in the second comment in Pasuk Vav, asher anochi nitzavcha hayom. Lo yihiyu be'enecha kid yud gima yishana. She'ein adam sofna ela kichadasha. The mitzvot should not become like old news. something that you don't respect any longer. Ela kichadasha shehakol ratzin likrata. Everybody has this eagerness to what? To exactly. In fact, the Netziv comments. Please open up to Bamidbar chapter 8, verse 3 for a second. Bamidbar 8, verse 3. It explains a Rashi, makes a lot of sense. Does it say, Vaya'at Kena Haron, Kasher? What's the whole passage? Aaron did, this is the mitzvah of Harlakat Neirot. That he's for Aaron and his children are supposed to be madlik the nair in the mikdash. So the pasuk says, "Vayas Aaron, vaskein Aaron." Aaron did
what Hashem
told him to do. So take a look at Rashi's comment. Lahagish vacho shel Aaron shiloshina. To tell you the great phrase of Aaron that he didn't change any of the instructions. What did he do? He lit the candle exactly like he was supposed to. So when you see this Rashi, what question are you supposed to ask?
Why would
he
change it?
Why would Aaron, of all people, want to change it?
Because he did it day in and day out.
Ah, that's the Netziv. Says the Netziv, Allah Rashi here, the Chiddush is not that Aaron did it. Of course he did. No one would expect him not to do it. But he approached it every single day with the same enthusiasm as the very first time that he was created, that he was commanded to do so. Fine, I can hear that. So Rashi claims that our entire unit here, back in Parshat Ki Tavoh, is designed to highlight this enthusiasm, exuberance for performance of mitzvot. Shelotiyeha mitzvot melumadot. Melumadot, routine. Exactly. That a mitzvah comes with routine. You do it without thinking, doesn't have much meaning. It's a problem we all face. We all face that. That we do mitzvahs by rote, without, thinking about it for 5 minutes. That's an issue. It's a major issue. That's what Rashi says. The Ramban claims, no. That this represents a change in the perspective of the entire Sefer Dvarim. Sefer Dvarim is Moshe Rabbeinu's book where he reminds us of certain obligation of many mitzvot as we are about to enter into Eretz Yisrael. That's the purpose of Sefer Dvarim. To remind us about our history, how many times we've angered HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and please don't repeat it again, because I am not going to be here to bail you out. Moshe Rabbeinu makes that point 20 times. I'm not going to be here to bail you out, like after the Meraglim and after the Chet HaEgel. I can't, so please be on your best behavior. And to review a whole slew of mitzvot. Good. Says the Ramban, this mitzvah, which we did today, the mitzvah Vidui Ma'asrot, that's it. Moshe Rabbeinu has now finished all of his mitzvot that he has chosen to present over the last 37 days. And now, beginning at this point, he makes one last, what, summation. Okay? I have now given you all these mitzvot. And what I want you to do, I want you to remember these mitzvot. And from here on in, the rest of Sefer Dvarim will have a totally different function. What that function will see will be, and he's right to some extent, there are no mitzvot recorded beyond this point, with the exception of two that are recorded only after Moshe is told that he's going to die. And we will see them when we study them. The mitzvah of Hakel and the mitzvah of writing the Sefer Torah. Those are the only two mitzvot yet to appear, but they will appear only after HaKadosh Baruch Hu was told Moshe that he's going to die. And we'll see the connection. But other than that, the presentation of mitzvot is over. And here, after this general reminder, now comes direct instructions what you are supposed to do when you get into Eretz Yisrael. He will tell us when you get to Har Grizin and Har Eval, that there are six tribes are supposed to go up. There's supposed to be a covenant there. You have to put certain stones on the floor. You have to write the whole Torah on these stones. We'll get to that. But the Ramban feels that this pasuk is the wrap-up of everything that has happened up until now, because going forward in Sefer Dvarim, it's going to be a totally different focus. It's no longer going to be about the presentation and reminder of mitzvot that we have to be aware of as we enter into Eretz Yisrael. Okay, we'll stop here. What? No, absolutely not.